Following on from her Morocco recording last month, we're now going to hear from Renee Cryer again. This is another travelogue arranged by Christine Ward, and the destination this time is Venezuela and Angel Falls.
On the first day, we had a guide that took us around Caracas, the capital. So we saw the old colonial part of the town. Part of the buildings, I think, used to be a library. We were shown, of course, the cathedral, which had a beautiful painted dome on the inside. We were shown a statue of Bolivar, which is also the name of the currency, but it was the name of the leader who led the troops against the Spanish to gain independence. We had a trip going out from Caracas to see the surrounding area, where we were shown a war memorial, and it was interesting to see there were a class, at least a class, if not more, of children all in school uniform, and all had been brought to have a look at the war memorial. And they've got little hats on, long trousers, white shirts. So that was quite interesting to see that. Now, apparently something happened to my sandal. And luckily, whilst we were in Caracas, we saw a cobbler working at the side of the road. So I handed him the sandal and he managed to mend it. And it lasted for the whole of the holiday, I'm pleased to say. Things obviously are quite different in Venezuela. Their bread is made from maize. So it's sort of an unusual shape. And when you have a sandwich made from it, I must say it's very hard to get your mouth. It's quite a difficult thing to eat. From Caracas, we had a flight down to Bolivar. And it was quite a frightening journey, I thought, because we were in an aircraft. It was dark outside and there was a thunder and lightning going on outside. And this storm had affected the whole area because when we arrived in Bolivar during the storm, all the electricity was off, both in the airport and the hotel. We were picked up, you know, as usual, by a taxi. But when we got to the hotel, we had to sign in by torchlight. And then we were shown up to our room by torchlight, and he actually wanted to take the torch back again. But I said, oh, no, we need to borrow it because we shan't be able to see where we are without it. So we stayed overnight. Then the following day, we flew down to a place where we could take a twin otter, a little plane, so small that when you were sitting in it, from where I sat, I could see the pilot, the windscreen wipers and everything going on. And he took us to an area that is basically owned by the Indians who live there. And that was where we had to stay in little Indian-style buildings, which were thatched at the top. And I don't know what the base part, the walls were made of, but they were all painted a sort of creamy colour. And they were very unusual. We didn't have electricity there, so if you did want a shower, it was a matter of having a cold one. And the ceiling was twigs, and hanging down from the twigs were mosquito nets, which were very awkward to get underneath. Very low camp beds we were on, and as I say, no electricity, so we just had a candle for light. There were other people who were staying in this little Indian settlement, so we met some other nationalities, French and German and Italian. From there, we went for walks out to Cavac Caves, which are a fantastic sight because waterfalls come out of these caves, and the water itself flowing into the river is quite strong in places, in fact, very strong. And there were places where it was quite deep and some of the Indians were doing some spectacular dives into the water where it was deep. Where it wasn't and where it was over a shallow area where there are lots of rounded stones, people were dressed in swimming costumes or just underclothes, really. and making the most of it. Me not being one of them, Christine knows that I really am quite frightened of water, so I found it a difficult time. There was a canoe that took us across to an Indian camp, but it had a leak in it, which had a twig put in the hole. It still had a lot of water in it, so I asked if the water could be swished out before we used it. And on the little settlement where the Indians are, we met an awful lot of children, and even children that are not very old. To me, they looked about 8 or 9. And we saw a schoolroom where the Indian children had lessons. We found that canoes were used quite a lot, and even young children would be using a canoe. And the oar was a different shape to ours. It was like a long stick with like a triangle at the end. But obviously that was a method for them to get about. Sometimes there'd be 4 people and 4 dogs on them. Anyway, going back to the falls, very spectacular falls. Some of them very long and beautiful. We also went walking through the jungle. We'd been asked to take some stronger, sturdy shoes to put on our feet. And we did go walking through the jungle, but the only problem was the mosquitoes were so bad, the journey was cut short because they were really troublesome. As I say, the Indian settlement had a few planes just outside, very small planes that took people out on journeys. One of the visited was a national park at Kashame, and fantastic trees in there. And it's obviously used by an awful lot of people. For instance, we saw families using the park, and we saw a birthday party going on. And this is an area where 2 rivers, the Orinoco and another one, meet. And again, it looks quite dramatic. In fact, there look to be waves in places, you know, where the waters meet. And we crossed the Orinoco by ferry, because in some places it's a mile wide. And we were again taken out to our next place, which was a motel. Pauline and I didn't know it was a motel that wasn't quite finished, but we were on the ground floor and the rooms upstairs were still being built. So because all that work was going on, the pool that we should have been able to go into had we wanted to was shut. We went on a trip down a river on the Morikalago River, and before we went on the river we were told that it might be as well if we went to the toilet. Now Pauline always sends me to have a look at the toilets first. Now this is the most primitive toilet I've ever seen. It was just corrugated iron that was in a circle, and inside there was absolutely nothing. Now I am used to holidays where, you know, there'd been a problem with finding any toilets. But luckily, I always travel with lots of tissues and things. But that's one of the most primitive ones I've seen. On the river, we had to wear long-sleeved outfits and life-saving equipment just in case we fell in. So we were covered more or less from head to toe, which was as well. I know we've been told to take plenty of mosquito repellent, but we certainly needed it. And one of the tributaries that we went into, it was absolutely covered in the type of plant that we buy in garden centres, you know, for our ponds. But, I mean, it was so overgrown there, I don't know how on earth they would get rid of it. But travelling along the river was beautiful because we'd got forest on either side. We were able to watch the Indians, to see the Indian settlements. The roots from the trees were all spreading out from the side of the river into the river itself. And there were masses of water lilies there as well. We did stop a time or two just to watch the antics of monkeys at the side of the river. And the type of dwelling that the Indians have basically is very primitive. It is just a thatched covering and uprights. There aren't any walls round, but it means that they have got some uprights to sling a hammock from. And all they need, basically, is for them to be covered if there were a storm and to be able to have somewhere where they can sleep. The reason for us going on the river was because we were supposed to be piranha fishing. Now, piranhas are very small fish. I'd expected them to be a lot bigger than they were. And both Pauline and I had a fishing rod each. The piranhas didn't take any of Pauline's bait, but they did take mine, and yet I didn't catch a thing. But of course, other people on the boat, the Indian that was taking us, he managed to catch quite a few and put them in a bucket so that we could see them, and he took them out and showed us the teeth. And that, oh, they're extremely sharp. So all along the river, we saw these Indian settlements. We saw bits of trees that not aware of, you know, I've never seen before. A lot of them just, you know, very tall, sometimes with only just a bit of foliage at the top of them. And at the side of the river, all the roots are coming from the trees into the river. And in fact, in some cases, if a palm tree, say, had fallen over, it might have fallen over into the river. So, you know, it doesn't actually cause a blockage as such, but it's another thing to manoeuvre around. Now, some of the settlements that the Indians lived in, I don't know why, but some of them were built on stilts out into the river. So again, you've got just upright parts and a thatched or twig roof. Apparently the dwellings are called palafitos, and really it's basically just a covering for a hammock. After we'd had this journey and seen the piranhas and so on, we were then taken back to the airport and flown across Margarita, which is an island off Venezuela. And of course this was a much more European type of holiday with the hotel complex and lots of lovely pools. And again, the use of twigs and thatch, and a lot of buildings like the dining room and so on would be outside, just a thatched area where you could go and sit for a meal. And lovely big pools, lots of palm trees round so you could sit under a palm tree. And we did do the odd trip from there, and we certainly went to the coast. Beautiful, long, long areas of sand and little thatched covered areas where you could sit under cover and watch the sea coming in. And whilst we were there, we were asked if we wanted to go to a greyhound racing track. And who should we meet there but a couple who know a friend of ours in Bedford. This friend called Janet is somebody that I met on a London university. I mean, it's funny how you can meet people so far away from home who know people that you know as well. We also had a trip out into the countryside to see a coconut farm where we saw people scaling up palm trees and dropping them down and opening them up and getting the contents out. And I've also got photographs of a lady who I assume is making a hat from palm leaves that are dried. Because we watched her do it from start to finish. And after she'd finished making it, I bought it for my father. And we went and had a look round a market. And some of the hammocks there were worth £2,000. And like a lot of markets in areas that don't get too much rain, things were hanging all over the place. All sorts of clothing wear, things stacked up. To me, it seemed a bit higgledy-piggledy, but I mean, that's because we have very different type markets here. But one of the stalls specialised in crafts, and I bought an embroidery. I'll call it an embroidery. It's a collage and embroidery. And it's of a group of people who are in a market, all little figures, all padded out, and they're all in front of different types of stalls. but I thought it was beautiful, and I decided, I usually do bring a piece of craft work back with me, and on this occasion it was this collage cum embroidery. Now, before we came back, we had a trip to a beautiful swamp area. So again, we're on a boat, a much narrower river this time where the swamps were, and far more branches coming out from all the small trees at the side coming out over into the river. The beach at Restiga was one of the most beautiful places I've seen for a beach. I'm not a beach person as such, but fantastic sand, and very few people in the area where we were, so we had a lot of it to ourselves. So this was a completely different journey to the last one, and I hope you've enjoyed going through it with me today. So bye for now.